So we're down to, I believe, the last item, which is number 24, elk management and depredation update with John and Trent.
See if you can get this done. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Perfect. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, and Secretary Hepler. John Canta, I'm the Regional Supervisor out in Western South Dakota. I'll be brief here. I know we're towards the end of the day. I'll direct you to your Commission packet. It'd be page 94 where this all starts. And I'll just start by reminding you with this first part. So I'm going to talk a little bit about elk depredation and kind of our response to some meetings we've held and some conversations we have had with some legislators and other folks. And starting with that first Black Hills elk depredation plan in your packet there, I'm not going to go over this in its entirety just because I would remind you that I was in front of you back in March. And we talked about many of these very things that are in this document. I just gave you a quick update on what we were thinking to provide as a response there. And so we put those into this plan and written it up so we have something to give out to our landowners and our legislatures and others that are interested and can see what we're trying to do here on paper. And so really this is a result of some comments and requests that we received from landowners in the Black Hills and also some of these legislators that we've been talking to. We did hold a meeting on January 7th, and I briefed you on that. Had a pretty good turnout, lots of good discussion, and helped us come up with the things that you see in this document. And so walking through this rather quickly, that first bullet talks about increasing licenses in areas where we've got some depredation. So you may remember, maybe not, we did come to you with some license increases in the Black Hills in certain units. Now, overall, we decreased licenses in the Black Hills to try to meet that overall objective, but in certain areas, we did ask for increases. A good example would be the northern part of Unit 3, which is in the southern hills west of Custer. We doubled the antlerless licenses in that unit, and a lot of that was to hopefully direct those additional antlerless elk hunters to private land on the east side of Elk Mountain, which is along the Wyoming border. We were hearing from a number of those folks there that they were having some issues with elk. So there's one good example. Bullets 2 through 5, that's just simply raising the limits to a lot of the programs that we have, food plots, stackyards, fencing programs, things of that nature that we help landowners out with. So, just simply increasing those limits that allows us to do more for that landowner and help them out with some of that damage from elk. The number 6 there talks about a supplemental hay program. We have developed that program and written it up. Again, I won't go into all the details here, but it's just simply what we'll do is in some extreme situations or where we feel landowners are really having a hard time and they've lost a lot of that forage on the ground that they were going to use to feed their cattle through the winter, we'll come in and, as the program says, offer them some hay to supplement what they have to help get them through the winter. We've got that program written up and we're trying it out with a few landowners this year. We've got 3, I believe, that we're signing up and just going to see how that works and if it makes sense to them or not. Number 7, this talks about a landowner-owned land elk license opportunity. We did bring you something in March, but we chose to table that. You chose to table that so that we could have some more discussion and further flesh that out. And so we are doing that with the elk stakeholder group as part of the elk management plan revision. Commissioner Spring and Commissioner Beast sit on that group, of course. And so we have had some good discussion. We'll have another stakeholder meeting here coming up in the next couple of months. We'll continue that discussion with the hopes to come up with something that we can bring to you at your March commission meeting when we take up elk. Number 8 has to do with you just utilizing depredation hunts a little more liberally, and we are doing that. And one example would be we held a depredation pool hunt again on that east side of Elk Mountain in Unit 3. We started that pool hunt July 15th and ran it through the end of August for a particular landowner. And the idea was to, of course, kill some elk, but also put some pressure on those elk so we can push them out of his fields that he wants to use to bring his cattle in to graze and to harvest that hay for livestock feed to take them through the winter. The last couple there, we are issuing kill permits in some situations to landowners that they have a real extreme situation, a real hardship in allowing some elk to be killed there. And then, of course, we're just always working hard to increase our outreach and communication, letting folks know that we're here to help with elk damage and get that message out. So I'm going to jump right over to the next one, which is the Prairie Unit 11 down in that Bennett County area. This is another area that we're having some significant elk damage and are hearing from a lot of those landowners, producers down there that they would like us to do something about the number of elk there. It's certainly a tricky situation. All of these lands are right smack dab in the middle of Pine Ridge Reservation and the Rosebud Reservation, and there's a checkerboard of tribal and deeded lands throughout there. So that does make it a bit difficult, because when those elk are on tribal lands, of course, we don't have the authority, and it's hard for us to manage or make a difference there. Certainly, we are meeting and working with the tribes to try to help them understand what we're trying to do and ask for their assistance and see if they're willing to help us reduce some of those numbers of elk in the area as well. But again, just breezing over this document as well, what we've done for a plan down there is said that we're going to help those landowners out and kill more elk. And so our goal down there is to kill 150 elk by the end of March 2021 here. The way we're going to do that is kind of three different approaches. First and foremost, we're going to use licensed hunters. You, the commission, actually approved a significant increase in antlerless licenses down there for this year. So we have 60 additional antlerless licenses for a total of 108 antlerless licenses and 32 any elk licenses. And so what we're going to do is go out of our way to try to make those hunters successful and make up a large portion of that 150 elk harvested with those licensed hunters. To date, we're about halfway through the seasons. We've killed 56 elk with those hunters so far. So things are going really well, and we expect to kill a bunch more. We have 60 more antlerless licenses that'll be valid from November here through the end of February. We feel pretty good we can get a lot of those hunters success and get those elk harvested. The next part of the plan is to use our standing kill permit a little bit more liberally down there. So what that means is for the Game Fish and Parks, our staff to go in and take elk in certain places to help bring those numbers down. Now, primarily to this point, we've focused our efforts over in Todd County, where we have some damage, and those elk do come over into Bennett County and onto deeded lands there. So because our season is not open there, that's where we've been focusing our efforts. And we'll continue to utilize this tool. It will become more prevalent the later in the season that we go, so that we're not taking opportunity away from hunters and rather bringing those hunters in to make those harvests versus us killing those animals. But we've killed 8 elk so far on the standing kill permit. The last part of the plan is we're calling it a kill permit pool hunt. So very similar to a depredation pool hunt, in that we'll use a pool of hunters to come in and help us harvest some elk. In this case, we wanted to allow some of that to occur during the season, so we used a kill permit authorized by Secretary Hepler to make this hunt happen. Now, this far, the only tags that we've issued out with this part of it is to landowners. The landowners expressed a desire to help us kill some of these elk, and so in certain situations, we are issuing out licenses already to those landowners so that they can take elk when it makes sense. Now, the way that we're approaching this is we're asking those landowners to contact us if they have elk on their property and they're experiencing damage. And when they do, we'll talk to them about a landowner pool hunt license, but also about getting hunters in there and getting elk harvested. And so for the most part, we've had good results there. There's been a few landowners in particular that have taken a lion's share of our hunters and helped us make them successful so we can get those elk harvested. And so this far with those landowner licenses, we've taken 12 elk. Now, like I mentioned, the later we get into the season here when we've had most of our regular season hunters through, we will ramp this up a bit. And to get to that target of 150 elk killed, we'll use not only landowners, but hunters that will pull from our pool hunt list and issue licenses out to them so that they can take those additional elk we need to get to that 150 elk that we're targeting. The last thing I'd mention with this is, so when we execute the kill permit as authorized by Secretary Hepler, that being the department going out and killing elk, we do make use of those and make sure that they go to needy families. Our primary outlet there is to individuals on the Pine Ridge and Rosebud reservations. And so this far, all eight of those elk that we've killed have gone to needy families on the reservation. And, you know, so if we exhaust those opportunities, we'll next go then to Sportsman Aid's Hunger and make sure these elk are processed and distributed to needy families that way. So I try to be quick with all this. I know we're at the end of the day. I would just end there and open it up for any questions you might have for me.
Thank you, John. Questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner Sharp?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good report, John. I guess my question would be is I've got to believe that some of our customers listening to that presentation would be wondering if we're having to issue kill permits out in that and in some of these areas, why we're not increasing the number of licenses available, so we kind of don't have to do this.
Mr. Chair?
Sure.
Commissioner Sharp, I'll remind you that we did. In Bennett County, there's 60 additional antlerless licenses here, and we're going above and beyond that this year. We hope that the bulk of it is with those licensed hunters. But if we're successful here and if we feel the need to come around next year and harvest another bunch of elk like this, that's absolutely what we'd like to do is come to you folks and ask that we increase those regular season licenses so that we can try to utilize those hunters to get what we need done so we don't have to go through all these extra efforts. So it's a great point, and that's exactly what we'd like to do. If we can demonstrate that we can kill more elk beyond the season this year, absolutely we'll want to use regular season hunters.
Chairman Jensen?
Commissioner Spring?
I'd like to ask John how many elk were taken this late summer hunt in the Southern Hills on that pool.
Yeah, so again, that, Mr. Chair, sorry.
That's good. Go ahead.
Commissioner Spring, so on that pool hunt, which was one individual that we issued out licenses through a pool hunt, we started that on July 15th. We did run that all the way through August 31st. We harvested eight elk there, antlerless elk, as I recall. Now, that may not seem like a lot, but what we were doing and the intention was is when those elk came into his property to start grazing on his grass, we wanted to knock one down and push them back off. So we were successful in hazing those elk off, but certainly not killing large numbers of elk there. But now that the season is open, this is exactly the area where we doubled the antlerless licenses, and so we are directing as many hunters as we can to those areas, both this landowner and the surrounding areas, to harvest elk there.
Was there many applicants for this pool hunt?
Mr. Chair?
Sure, please.
Yeah, Commissioner Springs, yes, we don't have any problem with folks signing up. And actually, the pool hunt, we have a registration program online, and it's free to apply. But you just go online and register there and add your name to the list. And when it comes to elk and pool hunts, we don't have any problem finding folks to sign up and help us out there.
Any other comments, questions? Not. Thank you, John, very much.
Thank you.
We're at the end of the agenda. Everybody worked hard today. Thank you very much. We will be adjourned until December, and if anybody has anything they want to add to the agenda for December, let us know. Anything else? Anybody?
Mr. Chair?
Oh, yes, Commissioner Whitmire.
Have we had any input on the river otter take so far?
Oh, yeah, I saw something along the way today. I forget in what form, but somebody knows. Tom, are you still here or maybe not?
I am here, and I'll ask either John Cantor or Chad Switzer to chime in, but I know as of yesterday, when I saw last, we were up to a harvest of 9. I don't know if some additional ones came in today. So what I do know, commissioners, some additional ones came in today. So we're getting close to that 15 harvest limit. What we will do, commissioners, at the December meeting, we're already planning to provide you an information item on details of the harvest, locations, various aspects of what we learned from the harvest and the season itself. So, but it's progressing along very quickly. We certainly have people that are interested and out there participating in it. We're very close to reaching that harvest limit. And like I said, we'll give you a full update at the December meeting.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Anyone else?
Mr. Chairman, I want to end this meeting on a note of optimism. If you go back and just look at this year we've gone through, you know, since March with COVID, you know, our borders have been open. We're definitely open for business. And that's reflected a number of different ways. You heard Maggie talking about fishing today, and just, you know, you can't find tackle because people are out fishing, and our fishing license numbers show that. You know, we have Pat talking about working on the hunting side, and the school's been interested in getting people out hunting. You know, Tanaya came in and gave a report on, we're only 3 months into a 3-year marketing plan. We're already showing some very positive results because of that. You know, we're committed, you know, working with you in the governor's office to remove these barriers to participation, and that's showing already, so we're happy to do that. You know, and going back and looking at those non-resident pheasant numbers, you know, I think we're incredibly fortunate to have the numbers we have here right now, because, you know, that COVID-19, that's a very strong headwind to go into to get participation. And, you know, people know we're the best hunting for pheasants in the whole country. And the fact we have people still traveling here, the numbers you are, that reflects that. So I want to thank the work that the commissioners you have done, you know, that commitment to improving public lands, improving access, like in a CREP program, that's all paying benefits. And so, you know, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank the governor's office and her staff. So, you know, it's a great place to live in the Falls, you know, the wonderful times, the reason why I live here. So get out, do it enjoyably, do it safely. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Have a good rest of the day.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you.